Hey, it's Jonas Knox. Are you tired of endlessly searching for work, applying for jobs and never hearing back, job openings vanishing into thin air? What if with just one connection, you could link with dozens of companies that are hiring? What if that connection was a locally owned business ready to help without charging a fee? Express Employment Professionals is your one connection. Go to expresspros.com. With endless opportunities, it's time to try something new in your job search. Let Express Employment Professionals help you. Start at expresspros.com.
Hey, it's Doug Gottlieb. You know, our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for fast, free shipping, free roadhouse protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of the best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Hankook DynaPro AT2 Extreme. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, suspension, just to name a few. Everything you need to elevate your drive, simply go to TireRack.com/sports. TireRack.com, it's the way tire buying should be.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show. Fox Sports Radio. Coming to you from the TireRack.com studios. TireRack.com will help you get there. Unmatched selection, fast free shipping, free road hazard protection. Over 10,000 installers nationwide. TireRack.com. That's the way tire buying should be. Welcome in, Eagles, Chiefs, Super Bowl. We'll get to it in a second. I want to spend 2 minutes on the Eagles-Niners, okay? And here's the thing. And because this will help the argument or the discussion about the Chiefs-Bengals officiating debacle. Right? Because the officiating wasn't just bad because of the last call, which I vehemently disagree with. It was an atrociously officiated game and managed game by the officials, right? Like, your job as officials are so that we don't actually know you exist. That's when you're really good. Doesn't mean you don't throw penalties, but it's not like, man, what the hell? They're stopping the game and giving them an extra play, and holy cow, what the hell's going on here? But two things can be true at once. Like, the Eagles are a loaded team, and they're really good. And I can be completely and utterly unimpressed with them offensively at the same time. They played the easiest schedule in the NFL. They had a walk to a Super Bowl. The game was close, and their offense did nothing until Josh Johnson comes in, and he fumbles twice. Like, it was a 7-7 game. He fumbles twice. He's their fourth string quarterback. There's a reason he's played for 14 teams. My guess would be, no matter how loaded your roster is, nobody wins with a fourth string quarterback in the NFC or AFC championship game. I mean, what a debacle. And like, we're all celebrating Jalen Hurts. Like, when the game was a real game, he was not good. You know, they scored 2 Miles Sanders touchdowns when they picked up fumbles. That's it. And then they just did enough to hold them off and win, score some points, because I mean, like, the Niners literally could not throw a football. You had a quarterback who could not throw a football. That was one of the most bizarre games ever. Right? Where your fourth-string quarterback gets hurt, so your third-string quarterback who can't throw comes back in. They don't have him throwing, so they have your star running back throw the football. I can't think of a more... I don't even know how to describe that game, Dan Beyer. Like, have you ever seen anything, a game of that importance? Because when the last time I saw an injury like that happen, remember it was Colt McCoy when he had the nerve, like a pinched nerve in the national championship game against Alabama. And, you know, so it wasn't any, it just took a while to heal, but he couldn't pick up a football. So they threw in Garrett Gilbert, who, I mean, he was a very highly touted recruit, and he wasn't terrible. He just wasn't Colt McCoy. But, like, dude, we're talking fourth-string quarterback who then gets hurt, and now you don't have any other quarterbacks on your roster? Your emergency quarterback is your fullback?
Well, that's a whole other story, but that there's a lot to it. But I've never seen that situation in a game like that. And, in fact, I compare it to fantasy football, and the reason I say that, Doug,
yeah, I think I know where you're going, but go.
In our league, we made sure that guys would be able to field the rosters, like in the playoffs. Like, you don't want everybody, you know, picking up eight guys for the championship game. It's not a real depiction of you know, how the season has gone. So a lot of leagues put in rules on, can you pick up a guy after this point? Can you pick up? But we made rules in our fantasy league to make sure that someone would at least have a starting quarterback to play in a game. So, like we made adjustments for that because we just thought it was fair, and that's how you would want to settle a game of that magnitude. And for that game to come down to that, yeah, never seen it before. Nothing remotely close.
All right, let's get to the officiating in the Bengals-Chiefs game. And I think... And Dan, you and I have talked about this a little bit, but again, you never know who's listening. I am not a Steelers fan. I'm not a Seahawks fan. Okay? And one of the things that you will find about me, okay, and you guys, I think, know this, but people who read on Twitter who don't know, like, my entire sports life, like, I don't, all I can, I just wanted, like, a fair game, right? Just as fair as possible. And they're going to blow calls. They're going to be, a charge block is hard. Pass interference can be difficult, right? Holding can be really hard. I get it. You're going to miss calls. Even spotting a football, like, really, we're going to go by some 70-year-old dude's eyes on where the ball was stopped when there's a scrum and you can't really tell. All that stuff is difficult. There was the play last night where, I forget the wide receiver from the Chiefs, but he reached out the ball, but then he brought it back. Well, if you voluntarily bring it back, that's your own forward momentum. I was confused because I don't believe by letter of the rule they followed it correctly. But I bring up Steelers and Seahawks because that was the worst officiated Super Bowl I can remember. It was so bad, and it felt one-sided against the Seahawks. And I would like to think that, I don't think last night they had it in for the Bengals, but God, it sure felt that way. I don't think, but there's some like league conspiracy, but man, that was a terribly officiated game on a multitude of levels. Let's start with the Super Bowl. Dan, I know you're a Seahawks fan, but for people who have forgotten, and you don't forget anything, that's as bad of officiating Super Bowl as I've ever remembered.
Yes, and there were parallels to last night because it felt like it was building up or, all right, here comes another call. Oh, wait, you thought that was bad. How about this? Like, it was almost, and each thing was topped throughout the game. That was the feeling.
So my belief, and we'll get into it deeper on the podcast, a little bit more verbose, maybe the language will change a little bit. It's called In the Bonus. That's the third hour podcast. My belief is this. There's something called a bar in officiating, okay, where you got to get over that bar to call it. It's like with holding. Like, you call holding on any play. When it gets egregious and outside the... You know, outside your shoulder pads, and it stops the guy from making a tackle. Like, all right, I got to call holding. You know, it's like pass interference. There's contact on seemingly every play when the ball is in the air. You know, and what's the bar there? Is it, one, is the ball catchable? And two, like, there's lots of different things to it. And the more important the moment, the more that bar raises, and you want to be sure. And really good officiating is like, hey, man, I could have called that, but I'm going to hold on to it because it didn't really affect the play, and this is way too big a game. That last call was crap. It was crap. Did Joseph Asai, did he make contact with Pat Mahomes and push Pat Mahomes, who had already stepped out of bounds? Yes. Yes. Well, you're like, well, then by letter of the law. Yes. Question. Okay, but by letter of the law, Joe Burrow throws the football and gets popped like three strides later by a linebacker for the Chiefs. Wasn't called. And I didn't think it should be called. Why? In a game of that magnitude, like, you don't call that. There's a couple other late hits. Joe Mixon down around the goal line. He's in the green, past the white. You don't call that. Like, you don't call these things. But they did. They absolutely did. And on that, in that particular call, that one especially, like, dude, time, score, you're the official, like, it wasn't a late hit. If Joe Asai had launched his body into Pat Mahomes and hit him, by all means. If Joe Asai had even dove at his legs, hit Pat Mahomes in the knees, by all means. A one-hand push, which, let's just be honest, Mahomes sold it. He flopped. That won the Chiefs the game. They weren't in field goal range. It's a spot foul. It had no effect on the play. It had no effect on Mahomes, whether or not he's injured or not. And don't give me the, well, he's got a bad ankle. Wait, okay, so you're taking into context he has a bad ankle, but we can't take into context there's like 8 seconds left to go in the game? It's crap. And you can't even give me what Gene Serator says. Because if Gene's mic was off, he would say, you don't call that there. If you remember back, okay, you remember back to when the Saints should have had pass interference called against them by the Rams, right? The Rams cornerback hit, I forget who it was from the Saints really. Like, remember, that play was so egregious that they actually changed, you could review pass interference the next season just because of that call. But if you remember the audio of what Sean Payton said was, that's a Super Bowl call. And you're like, what do you mean it was a Super Bowl call? There was no penalty thrown. Exactly. In the Super Bowl, they try and throw as few penalties as possible. Do you know why? Because of the heightened importance of the game. Because they know if there's 150 million people watching, 80 to 90 have no idea about football. And the last thing we want is to muck up the fact that Rihanna is performing at halftime because we threw some penalty that nobody really understands, or, you know, 90 million people don't understand what a penalty is or why it was thrown. The heightened level of importance of the game brings up a heightened bar into what you call. The Seahawks knew this. If you remember, when they faced the Broncos and they demolished the Broncos, go back and look. The Seahawks defensive backfield, they like held on every play. Held on every play. It's the same reason that the Patriots would beat the Colts in the playoffs, except for 1 year, because they were basically, it was pass interference up to the point where they would call it. You can't call them all, and they call far fewer in the playoffs. Everybody knows that. And that call last night was, and, you know, I know many of you feel like, hey, listen, they call that in the regular season. They call that. I get it. Taking time, score, contact. He's like a foot out of bounds. The guy pushes him. He doesn't hit him. What are we doing ending a game on such a crummy call? Here's Joe Asai, the linebacker for the Bengals, who committed the penalty after the game.
I got to learn from experience, and I got to know not to get close to that quarterback when he's close to that sideline. If it's anything that could possibly cause a penalty in a dire situation like that, I got to do better. I was just in full chase mode, and I was trying to push him to maybe get him going backwards, because I knew he was going for that sideline. I was trying to make him go backwards, get that clock running, but I didn't know. I haven't seen it yet. I didn't know how far out of bounds we were.
Vito, by the way, sent me a text. How many times has Pat Mahomes faked being out of bounds just to get a couple more yards, stick that ball out? He's right. Like, it wasn't egregious. So I think it was a horrific call, considering time and score. You're like, wait a second. He stepped out. I'm not saying by letter of the law, you're not right. There's the spirit of the law. If we go by letter of the law, every one of us who drives home on a freeway is getting pulled over, because every one of us go over 65 miles an hour. right? And many of us, you drive 80 in a 65, you're like, I'm keeping up with the flow of traffic. So context matters in sports, in life, with penalties, with everything. And context absolutely matters. And my guess would be that most people who view the Super Bowl as beyond reproach in terms of how we do officiating, again, Seahawks, Steelers notwithstanding, they don't call penalties. Why are we not approaching at least end of AFC championship game the same? Buyer, respect your opinion. What do you think of the last call?
I don't want to be a sit on the fence guy, but if I can just take 30 seconds to explain, I think this penalty falls between two things. I think it falls between the LeBron foul that we saw on Saturday night that wasn't called on one end. And then it falls between, if you remember at the end of the TCU Michigan game where there was a targeting review on the fourth down.
Yes. And they didn't call it.
And the Michigan player was not going to get the first down. The game was going to be over. And I think it falls in between that. And the reason that I say that is I do think that it was obviously a penalty, as you're saying. But to the point of the LeBron was, he's not going to miss that layup. The foul by Tatum affected the outcome of the game. Like, LeBron does not miss that shot. And at least put him on the free throw line to have the two shots. In the TCU game, the outcome was over. Targeting was put in as a rule to protect players so they aren't seriously injured. And so I didn't feel like it should be called. And I felt that that's where that penalty was toggling between those two calls. I guess in the end, I think they made the right call. But, I know it sounds like I'm wishy-washy on it. If I ultimately had to decide, I think they made the right call. I can be swayed.
No, but here, let me back up the LeBron thing. Okay, what I thought was really good in the officiating. Okay, they missed the call. There's just no other way to, like, he has a layup, he gets hit in the wrist, he's gonna lay it in, like, it's a foul. Okay, they blew it. LeBron threw one of the all-time fits. Did they tee him?
No.
You know why? Not because LeBron, because, like, okay, I think I missed it, guys. Because you can't go, like, what'd you guys see? Like, you missed it. He got hit in the wrist. Like, ah. So what you do is you give a guy, like, all right, I'm going to, like, give you a little space to throw a little fit, knowing I missed the call. I'm not going to compound it. And then, they get in the huddle, and then Patrick Beverly grabs the camera and shows him on the camera and showed the lead ref, not actually the ref that missed the call. And like, okay, now I got to call a tee. The point is that the time, the score, the situation, all of that stuff does matter. It just does, especially with a dead ball penalty. And I'm not on the fence. I don't think it was close. It's not that I don't respect your opinion. I know Ramos' opinion is completely the opposite. I'm just telling you, there's no way, if I'm officiating that game, that it has to be so egregious that a penalty flag has to be thrown. And it didn't get to that. It did not rise to that level, in my opinion. And I believe most of us would say that. And again, this is me admitting full well, he did make contact when Pat Mahomes was out of bounds. But again, I would easily bring up that Joe Burrow threw a football, it's a couple drives previously, and he got popped in the chest and sold it and fell back. Popped in the chest, but it was a good three strides after the ball was released. That's called a penalty every time in the regular season. And they made the right decision to not call it, but you can't say, hey, it didn't really affect the play, doesn't rise that level, too important a game, and then guy steps out of bounds, gets pushed, takes a dive, and you don't do the same thing. That's bad officiating.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use the code Doug. New customers can bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code Doug, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See DKNG.com/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
Let's welcome in John Middlecoff, 3 Now podcast host and former NFL scout. He joins us in the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. If you were an official with that situation, would you have thrown a flag at the end of the Chiefs-Bengals game?
Yeah, I mean, I think he was clearly out of bounds. That's for all the controversial calls that happen all over the league every week, and just in sports in general, I'd say that's a pretty consistent one. When both your feet are out of bounds, it doesn't take, you don't have to get, you know, mollywopped by a safety like a Cam Chancellor coming full speed. If you get shoved, even if he did do a little messy flop, I just think that's a pretty cut and dry thing in the NFL. For all the subjective calls, I'd say that's basically objective now when both your feet are in the white. And even, I don't know if you saw the video, but even some of his teammates were complaining as they're going back to the locker room, the Bengals, that is. So, yeah, I mean, I thought that was a pretty easy call to make.
I disagree. I just think, like, there was a Joe Mixon hit out of bounds earlier in the, I think it was the early in the fourth quarter, maybe third quarter. And then there was, you know, Burrow's back there. He gets popped several steps. After he releases the ball, and he did a little flop as well, no call. Like, I just think time and score in that part of the game, like, it was a bang bang deal. I think you keep it in your pocket and go, I don't want to end the game on this call, and that's what they did.
Yeah, I think the crappy part about that game is that it's the officiating, and this happens a lot now in sports in general, is that it's all we talk about, and it's one of those things that.
It was a poorly officiated game. Is that fair?
For sure. But I mean, welcome to sports. I think most of these games, it feels like, are pretty controversial year in, year out. I mean, we've had now several AFC or NFC championship games, I would say, in the last half decade that have been, the officiating played a major role in the discourse after the game from the fan bases and from people like me and you. It's just kind of part of the deal. Maybe I'm kind of numb to it. I don't know. I'm just unfazed.
Well, look, I don't do the officiating thing for the most part, but that one felt it was bad. There was so much, a little bit of disorganization, you know, the blowing the call dead, give another down when it didn't affect the play. I'm big on it if it affected the play. And I understand that sometimes a penalty is a penalty, but it was not a well-officiated game. That said, I don't know how to feel about the Chiefs. I said before the game, I thought the Bengals would win. And my logic was that this is the type of game that Tyreek Hill used to win them. Right. That he just made like a play or two a game where he's just the fastest player in the NFL. And I mean, that's really what happened last year against the Bills. Right. It wasn't just the catch, you know, the first catch on the 13 second drive. It was the touchdown they had before where they threw it to him. It's like five guys around him. He just runs away. I thought that really came to fruition, that they're having to use Marquez Valdez-Scantling as their like go-to wide receiver because Kelce wasn't right and they were doubling him. What's your impressions of the Chiefs coming off of the win?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you really look at the guys they're playing with, when I say step back, this just wasn't supposed to be potentially one of their Super Bowl teams. It was supposed to come in the next couple of years. I mean, they were littered with rookies in the backfield, in the defensive backfield. Obviously, Pacheco plays a huge role. Once Juju goes out, their receiving core was just – and Tony got hurt. They were playing with guys they do not want to play with. I just think it's one of the more legendary wins. And listen, I understand the officials play a role in it, and they're kind of part of the conversation, but of the Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes era, the number one win has to be the Super Bowl.
Right.
That, to me, has to be number two when you factor in dudes limping around. I mean, that was all great players, like elite players, have just a couple moments that are even just separate themselves, like Jordan flu game, Tiger at Torrey Pines limping around. That felt like a signature, and really half of last week, but playing that full game, gimping around like that, I mean, just an all-time Mahomes game. It's just, this is why we love sports, just watching that is why he's the biggest star in the game. That was truly special.
No, I think both these things can be true. The officiating can be bad, and yet Mahomes can be unbelievable. He was unbelievable considering what he was working with.
It was awesome. Burrow was too. It was
that
awesome
was the other part. Is like look, Burrow threw that one pick. You're like, what are you doing there, bud? The deep when he went deep, I didn't really understand it throwing the double coverage, but end up being an arm punt, not killing him. What impresses me about Burrow is not just the plays he makes, is that when things go bad, there's no reaction. Like he's just no reaction at all. That guy is steady Eddie. You know, no protection. He ain't pointing at anybody. He ain't yelling at anybody. Like that dude just keeps playing. I love him. They're both incredible, incredible quarterbacks.
Yeah, I think we're lucky because still have a long way to go for like Josh and Herbert and Lawrence, just kind of scratching the surface. But I think we got two guys that are just established. And Burrow's a little older for, you know, a guy that's only in his third year, and obviously Mahomes now has been in the league, whatever, 6 years. It does feel like they're both in the peak of their powers. And, you know, the way quarterbacks go now, I mean, it's not as long as they stay healthy.
They can do it for 15 more years. More years. It's crazy. Speaking of quarterback, then we get to the Niners. I mean, what a mash unit. How do we even talk about what we think? I didn't think Philadelphia was particularly good on offense.
Me either.
I mean, at all. Like, I get it. Jalen Hurts is a good story. He wasn't playing well. They weren't playing well. It's just that San Francisco literally had nobody who could throw a football.
You know what stinks about that is we were going to get a game, if Purdy doesn't, you know, have Tommy John do his right arm, that the 49ers defensive game plan, typically they're a run up the field and get after you and their defensive line dominates. They were actually sitting back and not letting Jalen just take off. So basically forcing him to throw behind the line of scrimmage every single pass. And early on in that game, he couldn't do it or do it consistently. And it was going to be a test of him throwing the ball against, you know, depending on what stat you look at, the best defense in the league. And a head coach that's going to be – or a defensive coordinator is going to be head coach here in 24 hours because he's awesome. And it was going to be a true chess match against this Eagles offense, their passing game, and this Niners defense. And we just didn't get it. I mean, that game, once – you know, Josh fumbles the ball. But I'd argue once Josh comes in, it was inevitable. The Niners were at their defense isn't the 0-1 Ravens or the 85 Bears where they could just find a way to win 13-2. That just wasn't going to happen. So once Josh Johnson came in, that was, from the Niners' perspective, I've been watching this team for 30-plus years. I've never watched a more meaningful game just become so meaningless early on in a game where you're like, this thing's a joke. And by the time Purdy came back in, when it was clear he couldn't throw, it was just, what are you even going to say? And it's, listen, the Eagles, you can say they got lucky. I'd say anyone good at anything uses some luck to their advantage, right? The Giants drop, Purdy getting hurt. They did create the Purdy injury. Like, their best defensive pass rusher lit him up. The other thing is, like, the Eagles set themselves up with these offseason moves, trading for A.J. Brown, doubling down on their defensive line, getting the number one seed to put themselves in the position for when the chips broke, they got, you know, a pretty easy path into the Super Bowl.
You know, then there's some coaching news, which is really interesting. Let's start with one which no one's talked about today because of the Chargers hiring the offensive coordinator who the Cowboys just fired. Did you see the news about Eric Bieniemy yesterday? So Eric Bieniemy is getting ready to coach in the AFC Championship game. He's interviewed for the Colts job. He pretty obviously isn't getting the Colts job, right? So then, reportedly,
Jeff Saturday is Doug. That feels inevitable.
He's interviewing for the offensive coordinator job of the Ravens, and there's somebody else as well. Remember, his contract was up last year, and there was a lot of talk that he would be out in Kansas City. They re-signed him to a one-year deal. Like, is that the weirdest story ever that a guy who so many in the media are like, he's got to get a head coaching job, is the offensive coordinator, granted, not calling plays for Mahomes, and yet he's now being rumored to be an offensive coordinator for other teams in the league? That seems odd.
And let's face it, for a long period of time, right, with Belichick and Brady, the Patriots, in terms of, were just the place you wanted to be where young coaches went to become stars and then become head coaches. That's now the Chiefs. So I had a guy, just a random Chiefs fan, DM me on Instagram and say, can you explain this to me? I don't get it. He's an offensive coordinator with us. Why do offensive coordinators interview other places' offensive coordinators? I'm like, listen, I'm not going to speak for Andy or Mahomes on this one. I think it's pretty easy to put the piece of the puzzle together. They don't want him around anymore. And they felt a little obligated or whatever last year, but it's pretty clear, like, it's kind of coming to the end of the road here. It's very, very I would say unprecedented for successful offensive coordinators who, quote unquote, are calling the plays to be interviewing other places, right? That happens when your team's losing or everyone's going to get fired. Okay. Not in this scenario. This never happened. So I think this is, I think we can pump the brakes a little bit on the Eric Bieniemy hype. It's because it's clearly kind of coming to a screeching halt.
No, there's no question. Okay. What happened in Dallas? And how does that become the hire so quickly in L.A. in that Kellen Moore, we just found out last night, relieved of his duties or mutual parting of ways with the Cowboys, and then today he's hired by the Chargers to be their offense coordinator?
Got a theory here, Doug.
Okay.
Jerry Jones, been very mad at Rodgers since he suspended Zeke, and he's made a big deal over his contract. Well, Jerry Jones clearly capitulated to Mike McCarthy and said, okay, I'll give you all the juice. He's going to put all the pressure on him. Whatever. But when that story broke during, not the NFC Championship game, because that's truly Jerry's partner, right? The Cowboys and Fox. He did it during the AFC Championship game. Well, it's kind of an unspoken rule. Like, no one's breaking any news on Super Bowl Sunday, you know, during the game, and obviously on the NFC and AFC Championship games. Let the games just speak for themselves. They don't need any of that. Jerry put that out in the middle of the Bengals and the Chiefs. That leaked right then. And I don't think it leaked randomly. Like, how about this one, Raj? You like this? What are you going to do to me? And to me, it was a big Jerry, you know, kind of middle finger to Raj. And also just clearly he gave in to McCarthy and said, okay, Mike, you're in full control here. No one can question, you know, this thing between you and Kellen. You call the plays. And because Jerry's guy was Kellen Moore, a lot like Jason Garrett. But you know, I'm a believer in Kellen Moore. I actually think it's a pretty good hire by the Chargers. I also think it's a pretty good, like, if their offense gets really good and somehow their defense lets them down again and they get bounced, you know, the Sean Payton thing, you know, they're probably less likely, even if next year you don't have to trade draft picks, to pay $25 million for a coach. If Kellen Moore's good, would it totally surprise you if they just transition next year to Kellen Moore as the head coach? If him and
nope.
You know, Herbert got really good, you know, going into like the 24 season. They got bounced in the first round again. I can see that one coming from a mile away. I like that hire. You know, it makes sense. And I think the Cowboys, The Cowboys and the Vikings both have highly paid quarterbacks who probably aren't worth it, but are just going to benefit from the conference they play in. And it's going to be hard for them not to win 10, 11 plus games every year and just make the playoffs. Now, I don't view them going far in the playoffs, but I think if you're the Cowboys, next year McCarthy's like, it's time to win a couple playoff games. Time to potentially, you know, be a little closer to the Eagles. And I think that's just going to be a difficult proposition.
Okay, help me out with the Aaron Rodgers story. Last week we were trying to figure out who's leaking it to Adam Schefter about draft picks and compensation and what they would want for Aaron Rodgers. And then you hear that the Packers, you know, that league sources say the Packers will likely want to move on from. It feels like the Packers are done. The Packers, and
yeah,
that this
does.
Is this I, is I all think this is they all they're trying to get somebody to take him off their hands, you know. And I think that's going to be harder than you'd only leak it if you didn't have somebody who wanted him. I think they're having trouble finding somebody who wants him.
I think one of their great regrets is last year they had the opportunity. It was over. They would have been able to make the trade, but they felt obviously they just had a lot of success with him individually and as a team, not necessarily in the playoffs, but they've had two straight years of him winning MVPs and them having home playoff games. They just didn't win them. But, I think they were still on the fence just because he's kind of a pain. He was going to be really expensive, but they didn't pull the trigger. And he clearly was cool with coming back. And now a year later, they have to regret that move, right? And it complicates it in the NFL. Unlike the NBA where it's like, I sign you a $200 million deal, I pay you by year. It's a little more complicated in the NFL, and I do wonder when you get these enormous amounts of money. He's 39 years old. I think if he was 36, it'd be really easy to get a couple ones. I think you're going, he's 39. He looks really old. Now, not his play. I still think his play's pretty darn good. I know he had some low moments this year, but, you know, if you're the Jets, well, I mean, yeah, it's not worth like a one and a two to trade for him. And I
honestly, here's what I think. Okay, when things didn't work for Joe Burrow last night, when he had to dirt a couple balls, what was his reaction? Nothing. And when there's a breakdown in protection, what was his reaction? Nothing. Whereas Aaron Rodgers, who's one of the best to ever do it, I mean, the second something doesn't go right, not only does he dirt a ball, but then he looks at the sideline like, you idiot, what'd you call? Like, I'll just be honest, I think nobody wants to deal with him. You got to pay him a ton of money. You got to give a bunch of draft picks, and even if you get him, there's the thought of like, he's kind of an a-hole, right? And again, I don't think he is. I think he's become in many ways a bad version, probably because he's probably saying to himself, I shouldn't have come back to the Packers. I should have made him trade
sure.
me, right?
Yeah.
But I the only reason I can think that stuff is out there is because they haven't found anybody who wants to take on that contract and give them reasonable compensation for Aaron Rodgers, and that's why they leaked it.
Well, that is why the Jets hired Nathaniel Hackett, the one guy that he clearly really likes, you know, a UC Davis guy, an intellectual guy, that it's basically like, you handle him, you know, because to me, the owner is going to force their hand. And I honestly don't think it's crazy for the Jets, like, even if it's like the owner meddled on this one, like I get it. Like
it is crazy that this is year three of the retirement thing, and he's going to end up going to the Jets and being replaced like by Favre. A guy exactly like Favre. Exactly like Favre. All right, we got to run. Middlecoff, you're the best. Three and Outs, the podcast. Download it. His stuff is awesome. Johnny, great stuff. We'll see you in Scottsdale.
Later, bro. See you.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
My first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my game.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
It's the Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Let's get to a game.
Game time!
This is game time.
It's game time.
On the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Game time is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Progressive makes bundling easy. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your motorcycle, RV, boat, ATV, and more. All your protection in one place. Bundle and save. Progressive.com. What do you got, Dan?
Doug, the game today is...
Big deal, little deal, no deal.
All right, big deal, little deal, or no deal that the 49ers are poor losers.
Why do you say they're poor losers?
Just Trent Williams. Just fighting people.
I would not want to mess with Trent Williams. That's a bad man right there. I mean, like, look, I think the Chiefs are terrible winners. They're just terrible winners. Like, you know, talking about they kicked the crap out of the Bengals, like, dude, you won by a field goal, helped out by a personal foul call. I don't know. I think you win with class, lose with class. Trent Williams got into a little, you know, he threw down a backup defensive back for number 42. Yeah. He threw him
like a paperweight. He only fights defensive backs. That's his problem. Then Ndamukong Suh gets in his face, and he stands still.
Yeah, I honestly think...
No, that's exactly what happened. Because he wanted to fight Richard Sherman after the wild card game a decade ago. Like, really?
I get it, but I also think that there's probably a good chance that him and Ndamukong Suh is like, yo, I ain't getting no beef with you. I ain't getting, like, you know, two bulls like that were like, we're good. I don't think it's all him. I don't think Ndamukong Suh wants to fight him either.
Man, I can't believe you're taking the side of Trent Williams. Honestly.
I like Trent. You need a guy like that on your team.
To beat up little people? Like, that's like smaller guys? Come on, Trent Williams. Step up your game. Oh, man. Big deal, little deal, or no deal? I saw your tweet about it. That's why I put this on there. Big deal,
I'm not messing with Ndamukong Suh. I'm not messing with Trent Williams.
Big deal, little deal, or no deal? That Bengals linebacker Jermaine Pratt was caught on camera voicing his displeasure about Joseph Asai and the penalty that was called.
No deal. It's real stuff. That looked like a real locker room, right? Guys come back like, man, we got to not hit the quarterback. He's pissed. And he's right to be pissed. I'm sure there's somebody who said something about the refs. They're pissed. Okay. Happens. You know? Happens.
Big deal, little deal, or no deal, Doug, that the Denver Broncos still haven't found a head coach.
It is a big deal. Because it felt like they wanted Sean Payton. He didn't want them. Then they're like, all right, well, let's go and get the defensive coordinator for the Niners. Piece of cake, right? Like, nah, I'm going to go. You get the Houston Texans over you? Wow.
Went crawling back to Jim Harbaugh. Had a meeting with him again. Mm-hmm. Dan Quinn goes back to Dallas. Yeah, very interesting. A big deal, little deal, or no deal, Doug, that LeBron James and Anthony Davis sitting out tonight's game in Brooklyn.
That feels like a...
They're...
Go ahead.
They play the Knicks tomorrow.
Right.
So there's a back-to-back. They're missing
the front end. I know. They've chosen the Knicks to play the Knicks game because it's a bigger TV game. It's a bigger game for them and their brands or whatever. I think the whole thing sucks. It feels like a big deal that we're going to blow it off like it's a little deal.
Finally, Doug, big deal, little deal, or no deal, that Purdue was a unanimous number one for the first time this year.
It's a big deal. I called that Purdue game yesterday. Matt Painter does an amazing job. I don't know if they get to the Final Four that he hasn't gotten to yet. I don't care. His ability to help guys improve and to have them buy into their roles is the best I've seen maybe anywhere. Anywhere. All right, coming up next in the Doug Gottlieb Show, we'll talk Eagles-Niners. That's next on Fox Sports Radio.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.